Heavenly Father, we just lift you up right now. We lift up the name of Jesus in this place. We ask that you would be here with us. We thank you. You said that you're walking through the churches today, that you're walking through us, through this place right now today. We ask that you would minister to us, that you would open our hearts, that you would cause us to be open and receptive to your plan that you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In Numbers, there's the story of Balaam and Balak. Y'all familiar with that and the donkey? Balak was the name of a Moabite king in the days of Moses. Numbers 22:2 says, "Now Balak, son of Zippor, saw that all Israel had done to the Amorites." So what is he thinking? He's looking and he's watching and he's seeing what God and the God of Israel and the Israelite people are doing, coming in, conquering lands, and he's afraid. So he calls on a wicked heathen prophet named Balaam. Now it's believed that Balaam was actually one of the prophets in Egypt that was working with Pharaoh. And so he understood what was going on. And so Balak calls on Balaam and to go and to prophesy evil against the land of Israel. But Balaam meets resistance from God. He's riding his donkey, okay? He's riding his donkey, and the donkey won't go any further. And so he keeps hitting the donkey, making the donkey want to go further. But the donkey is seeing something. The donkey's seeing an angel of the Lord standing before him. And he's not wanting to go any further. And the donkey, God gives the voice to the donkey, and the donkey says, "Why do you keep beating me? Haven't I always been a good donkey for you?" And God opens the eyes of Balaam, and he sees this angel that's standing there before him, and he says, "You cannot curse whom I have blessed." This morning, God is telling us we're blessed. We have the blessing of God on the inside of us. We cannot be cursed. You cannot curse whom God has blessed. If you are in Christ, you are blessed. You are part of the blessing. The curse is in the world, and it's going to try and come on you. How many have felt the pressure of the curse? Come on. It's a real thing. It's a heavy thing. And it's trying to take you out. That's what the curse was supposed to do if this evil prophet could get to the children of Israel. And Balak paid him lots of money. And every time they had to go and sacrifice all these animals, and he would take him out. But Balaam had sworn that he will only say what God said. And so he'd take him out three times to curse Israel. And every time he goes out in a different spot and he can't help himself, he just blesses Israel. Now the Bible says that we are Israel, that we've been grafted in. If we're grafted in with Israel, you cannot be cursed. Yes, cursed things happen to us, but it's up to us to respond how we respond to them. He does end up betraying them, though, and tells them, you know, tells Balak, you know, if you send the temple prostitutes into the land, the men won't be able to resist themselves. And that was how that got into the land. Okay? But what is this story? What can we really glean from this story? Number one, you cannot curse whom God has blessed. You cannot. The only way the curse can come in is if we open a door. If we start allowing certain things in our lives, just like Job, that which you greatly feared will come upon you. See, God wasn't out to crush Job. Job merely, it says in Job 3:24-25, it says, "That which I greatly feared has come upon me." Fear is an open door that allows the devil in. That's why we're told 365 times in the Bible, do not fear, only believe. Do not fear, do not fear, do not worry, do not fear, do not worry. Because fear and worry are a door that open to allow Satan in to wreak havoc in our lives. Two. Number two, if a donkey can understand spiritual things and be given voice to speak, and a false prophet of great renown in the heathen nations can hear and speak from God, so can we. Because we have the Spirit of God in us. I'm much better than a donkey. I'm most certainly not a heathen prophet. I'm a child of God. You're children of God. In the Old Testament, people didn't have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of them. They had to depend on the voice of the prophets. They had to depend on the voice of the prophets to tell them what they were supposed to do. They had to have, see, they had in judges, they had judges throughout the land. This was God's plan, that they would have judges who would lead the people, that would hear from him. In some respects, very much like having the Spirit of God or having Jesus himself represented as the leader of the nation being led by the Spirit of God. Is that not what they were doing when they were in the land of, in the wilderness? They were following the cloud and the fire. They were following the representations, the manifestations of God in the desert. They were learning to be led by God. We're supposed to be learning to be led by God as his children. See, we get the Spirit of God on the inside of us. They had to depend on an outside voice. We get to depend on the inner voice. He that has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying today. So when our sister has a word, and I'm listening to the word, and I'm like, man, that's a scripture. I know that scripture. Man, that's a scripture. I know that scripture. Man, that's a scripture. Why? Because when the Spirit speaks, the Spirit doesn't speak of his own. He takes what is from God and speaks that only. So if you get a word of prophecy that's a bunch of stuff you can't follow, that's probably not from God. If a person comes up to you and says, thus saith the Lord, I just see you're called to be a youth pastor. And you know you're not? Wipe it off. Walk away. Because you know in your own heart, God's not going to come up with some other person and try to give you direction for your life and tell you where to go when you know that God told you something else. Now, somebody comes up to you and says, you know, the Lord just really put on my heart, and you can do with this what you will. But it seems like maybe there's a struggle going on about what you're supposed to do in this situation. That might be from God, okay? But God does not lead primarily from outside voices. He might say things in your heart, like, don't go that way to work today. Right? Kathy was, one time we were getting ready to go on vacation, and she was at Safeway, and she was talking to her cousin. She heard this thought inside that she should stay and talk with her cousin that worked at Safeway. Well, down there it's Vons. And in Alaska it's Cars. But it's all the same store. So, but we were trying to get out of town. She was in a hurry. Do you know what happened? She gets to the intersection, the main intersection in Napomo, which is Teft and Mary Street. And it's one of the few lights in Napomo. And a police officer comes barreling through the intersection, chasing after a car, and hits her. If she'd have stayed a few minutes and talked to her cousin, see, God is always trying to get us. So don't feel bad. You know, we were at the store the other day, and we'd been busy, and we were gone all day, and Kathy went inside, and she should have been in and out in like 5 to 10 minutes, and it's going on 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and I'm thinking, this is Safeway in Pollock Pines. She has met somebody in there, and she's talking to them, and she came out, and she said, I'm sorry, I ran into so-and-so, and they were having a hard time, and so I ministered the word to them and helped them. And see, if I just sit in the car and I'm getting all upset, what am I doing? And I'm just all in the flesh. She's inside ministering. So she comes out. I say, what were you doing? She said, well, so-and-so was in there, and so-and-so was in there, and I was ministering to this person. See, listen, everywhere you go is an opportunity for you to minister. But we have to be open to that. We have to put our own schedules aside. Okay? I don't know all the stories of 9/11, from 9/11, of people who felt like they were supposed to go in late that morning, or they were supposed to go a different direction that morning. And it saved their lives because they listened to that inner voice. The voice of God will always lead you to life and that more abundant. Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, the devil has come only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come to give life and that more abundant. So if something is stealing and killing and destroying in your life, it is not from God. God did not send a plague. God did not send the flu because he thought you just needed a few days off. Because if he thought you needed a few days off, he's not going to make you so sick that you're dehydrated and you can't function. That's not restful. It's not. God didn't cause you to trip and break your leg so that you have to sit at home with your foot up for 3 weeks so that you could get some rest. God's going to make... I love, did you guys, we're here the last Sunday with Cheryl and Len? And, oh, man. Wow. And she was talking about how we went to lunch and we were at Sportsman's with them for 2 hours having lunch. And she was talking about how it turns out Kathy and Cheryl know each other from 1996. I was just saved and waiting to go into Teen Challenge, and they had this thing. It was called, does anybody remember the March for Jesus? So they were doing a March for Jesus, and Kathy went to this organizing meeting, and Cheryl was looking for volunteers, and Kathy volunteered to help with trash pickup, and Cheryl said, okay, you're in charge, because she was the only person, and they both remembered each other from that, because Kathy was the first and only volunteer for trash pickup. And so she remembered her from that. But isn't that amazing how that, you know, as you know, you go around and you find different people that you know, and how that God is orchestrating and working people together and bringing people together. I can tell you why. Because we are all living stones that God is putting together in his living temple. And we are his living temple. And God is bringing people together and putting people together. Come on. Anyway, so she was, back to the story on that, she was getting ready, I don't remember if it was for that one or if it was for the one in Israel, but she was working for Diablo Power Plant, nuclear power plant in on the Central Coast, and she got laid off. Well, it was just the right amount of time, and she wasn't in financial dire straits for her to orchestrate and put together the March for Jesus. And as soon as it was over, they brought her back on. That worked together for her good and for the Central Coast's good, because through that, so many wonderful things happened. I began to develop an interest in Israel. John 16. Open your Bibles to John 16. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But Jesus is talking to his disciples. And I think it starts in about verse 6 or 7. Well, I suppose I should open it, right? All right, well, I don't have it open, so you have to wait just a second. Verse 5, but now I'm going to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking, where are you going? Because I have spoken these things to you, grief has filled your heart. Jesus knows that he's been with these disciples for 3.5 years, and he knows he's watching them as he's talking to them. He can see grief entering their heart. He can see them becoming sad. And seeing that, he's getting them ready. See, all this time, he's been talking very plainly with them. He talks in parables to everybody else, and then he takes them aside, and he explains what the meanings of the parables were. He said, it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them, everything has to be a mystery. Why? Because they're his followers. They're following him closely. So they get to this point, and they're thinking, because you've read the book of Acts, chapter 1, he says, they say, are you at this time going to establish your kingdom? And he says, not yet. So they keep thinking, this is the Messiah. He's supposed to establish his kingdom. He's supposed to set up the kingdom of God again here. But it's not time for that yet. So they're getting sad. He's talking about leaving, and he's not set up the kingdom yet. But this is the thing he's going to do. Jesus has taught them to live as his disciples. He brought them close to him. He's getting ready to leave. And as he's doing so, sorrow fills their heart. He knew how they felt about what was going on naturally. So he proceeds to tell them that he's going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh in Hebrew, who's going to come and dwell and live in them and spread his love abroad and in their hearts so that they can walk together, so that they can hear from him. He says, he is going to speak to you, but he's not going to speak on his own. He's not going to say just whatever. He's going to declare what is God's, and he's going to declare it to them. And he's going to speak to them by Jesus, words and authority only. So it's like having the living Jesus living on the inside of you. That's like, you know, when you're little and you say, Jesus lives in my heart. It's the Spirit of God dwelling in our hearts, imparting life, leading us, teaching us. You know, when you're in a situation and things aren't going right, and something on the inside of you says, no, this is going to be for your good. No, you're not broke and going to die. No, this sickness is not unto death. When Faith was in the hospital, and she's just there for 3 days, and the doctor said she's not going to make it through the night, I would wake up. We went to my wife's room, and we prayed, and there was the prayer ladies from our church. It was me and the prayer ladies. Every Wednesday, it was me and the prayer ladies. And we'd gather around this table, the prayer ladies and I. They were all about 60 at the time. And so a couple of them just happened to be in Kathy's room when I came up, and I said, I don't think they think that she's going to make it through the night. And so we prayed, and I went back home, and I would wake up periodically, and I would hear something, and I would see something playing out in my mind in the NIC unit, and I'd wake up and I'd say, no, she's going to live and not die. No, she's going to live and not die. That's the Spirit of God on the inside of you making declaration, and we need to let him make declaration. We need not to be discouraged by what we see with our eyes. Don't let the natural circumstances lead you. Your checkbook might not have anything left in it, but that's not the end of the story. You might have received a diagnosis, not the end of the story. You might get fired, not the end of the story. I got fired. Josiah was 4 months old, and I got fired. The church decided they wanted to go in a different direction and hire on a youth pastor full time. I totally get that. I was the administrator, and so they fired me. And we just bought this house a year and a half ago. The market tanked. We were upside down on the house. We couldn't sell it. And God brought along a friend, and he said, hey, I need a place to live. He paid us $100 a week. All of our other bills were paid. He gave us $100 a week. That bought all the food. Everything was taken care of. We weren't in dire straits. Kathy said, I've been praying. I think we're supposed to move in with your parents. I said, okay. Are you sure? Because you said you don't ever want to do that again. Not because we don't get along. I mean, we get along famously. But, you know, at a certain point, you want to have your own house. And I said, okay, well, let's talk to them. And they said, okay. We were only there, I think, probably 6 months before my mom found out she had stage 4 cancer. So we got to be with her. She was tired. She was ready. She was 70, 72 at the time. And she was ready to go home and be with Jesus. And so we just there. We loved on her. I was there on the bed with her when she breathed her last breath. Just the same as she was on the bed with me when I breathed my first. Right? It was beautiful. Yeah, of course I cried. But you know, God brought us together at the right time. And you're led by the Spirit. And sometimes things don't make sense. And you think, well, that seems like a step backwards. But really, it's just a step in with God, following after God, what he has planned for you. So Jesus is telling them he's gonna send the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is going to convict the world. How does he convict the world? He doesn't throw a hammer at them and say, you're a sinner, get right. No, the same way he did with you. One day you were, whatever you were doing, and maybe you were at church or your friend was talking to you, and so you just, in your heart, there's this tugging. Where does the Spirit of God always tug at? From the heart. He's not pushing your flesh. He's tugging at your heart. He's trying to bring correction and direction. He doesn't need a megaphone. Judy! Could you imagine? You need to get saved! That's not what Jesus does. That's not what the Spirit of God does. He says, Faith, you know it's real. You know I love you. And he's just whispering in your heart like that. And you know it. And in your heart, you get the conviction, and you begin to see and understand. And all of a sudden, you just, yes, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to follow you, Jesus. And when you're starting to mess up, he says, you know not to do that. come over here and do this instead. Let's get you preoccupied with something else for a while. And he'll take you away from something that you shouldn't be doing. Why? Because he wants you to stay on path. He wants you to stay on course. Why? Because he has a better plan for your life. He has better options for you. He has a great plan. But his path is always narrow. See, the world has this great idea that Jesus is love and everything is okay. Not true. If that were true, why would we need the Holy Spirit to convict us? We need the Spirit of God to convict us. Not everything we do. I mean, there, movies. Maybe there's a certain kind of movie. You think, well, I'm not supposed to watch that. So a long time ago, I can only tell on myself because, you know, I don't know what you've done wrong. And it wasn't necessarily wrong. We used to watch Will and Grace. And it was funny. And we would laugh. And it was hysterical. And then one day God said, every time you turn that show on, you're giving approval to that. And you're allowing it into your home. And you're saying, it's okay. Stop. We stopped right then and there. We never watched that show ever again. Occasionally you pass by it and you go, oh, no, God said don't watch that. You know what I'm saying? So we told our friends. They had purchased on DVD every season of the show. And we told them, and we didn't know. We were helping them move, and we were putting all the movies together and their movie collection. I said, where'd your Will and Grace collection go? They said, well, you said that it was bad, so we got rid of it. Well, see, that's not my intention. But if I say, you know, if I'm convicted by something and I tell somebody else, maybe it'll convict them too. But we don't want to be the Holy Spirit to other people. Because if I'm the Holy Spirit to somebody else, I own you. If I have to tell you this is right and that's wrong all the time, then I'm your Holy Spirit. I can't be your Holy Spirit. I have to stay close to him. You have to stay close to him. The inner voice. Listen, the inner voice is so much better than a donkey tonking to you. That almost sounds like honky tonking, huh? It's better than honky tonking and donkey talking. John 16:13, he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide us into all truth. He will not speak of his own. Boy, I really messed up that word. He will speak as is Jesus himself to glorify Jesus. Everything the Spirit of God does is to glorify Jesus. If our words are condemning, we're not glorifying Jesus. Condemnation doesn't come from God. Conviction does. Condemnation says, you're a dirty, rotten scoundrel and you know better. Conviction says, I have a better way for you. Wouldn't you rather have the better way? That's conviction. Condemnation makes you feel bad. It puts you under the thumb of oppression. God's not oppressing anybody. God is uplifting and convicting and straightening and causing the crooked paths to be made straight. He's not with a hammer or a baseball bat waiting around the corner to club you because maybe you missed church once. Big deal. You missed church once. Don't do it all the time. Well, come on. The book of Hebrews says that in the end times, people will begin to not assemble together as a habit. If it's a habit not to do something, make a habit to do it. It's a habit to be at church. I don't want to stray onto that a whole bunch. Listen, Jesus, he's going to lead you into being a follower of Jesus on earth. He's going to teach you. He's going to tell you what's to come. Why is he going to tell you what's to come? Because maybe there's some things you need to know about. If you're praying and you're seeking him, he's going to tell you. So we had this situation come up this week. We had our vacation scheduled, and it's July 15th, and we're going to Olympic Village Inn in Squaw Valley, where we go every year. It's beautiful, it's peaceful, it's heaven on earth, and it's a glorious place. And we got a call on Monday asking why we hadn't shown up for our reservations on Sunday, last Sunday. And I'm like, no. Every dream I've had for the last 3 months is telling me I need a vacation. Now my vacation has just been, it's like a rug pulled out from underneath you. I was so upset. I'm like, God, I need that vacation. I need vacation so bad. And Kathy's like, well, we could do this or we could do that. And I'm like, no, that's not a vacation. Because, you know, she's saying we could go stay at the... Her parents have a trailer, fifth wheel trailer they keep on their property in Napomo, and it's empty like 98% of the time, and all I can think about is bugs and stuff, and you have to go in and clean it first. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. That's not a vacation. And she said, well, we could get the tent and go up to Donner Lake for a couple days. I said, I don't know, maybe. And so I'm just really upset, and the Lord says, come and pray. So I went and I put my prayer shawl on, and I sat in my chair. I'm like, I'm just talking to him, just real like I'm talking to you. I'm like, God, I need the vacation. I don't know, you know, what are we going to do? I need vacation. He says, just relax. You're going to have a great vacation. I'm like, okay, I'm trusting you. Because this is literally the words he used. He said, not here, because that's like hearing voices, and that's, you know, that's weird. You don't want to hear voices. But in my heart, I'm just still, and he says, don't worry, you're going to have a great vacation. So Friday, we said, well, why don't we do this? Dad just made plans, and we're going to D.C. in September for a week, and we're going to stay in Old Town Alexandria and stay at the Holiday Inn Carlisle, and we're going to go to Washington, D.C., and you know, really have a great time in September. I thought, well, that's a great time, so that can be like vacation. And then we said, well, let's go down to Corona, and we can visit our friends down there. And so we decided we're going to do that. And I'm like, okay, that, you know, that's fine. And then yesterday, Dad gets a call from Olympic Village Inn. They figured out what was wrong, and we have our reservation back. Come on. See? Don't worry. I can get all in the flesh, and trust me, this was not easy for me not to get all fleshly about it. I had to, listen, the last time, not this last week, but the week before when I preached about being content. This was my opportunity to learn contentment. And I had to work through it, baby. It was not easy to be content. It's not always easy to be content. In 1 Thessalonians 5:4, we're told that things are going to come, and we're not supposed to be taken by surprise by it. God knows what's going on. Listen, he exists in times past. He exists in the current, and he exists in the future. That's what happens when you live at the speed of light. Because God is light. You can see everything. And he knows, don't worry, because I had my opportunity, and I got in the flesh over it. I mean, several of us got in the flesh over it, and we had a hard time. But once we go, we're like, okay, you know what? God's going to work this out. It's going to be okay. Everything worked out. 1 Kings 18. In 1 Kings 18, there's been a drought going on in the land of Israel for 3.5 years. And God speaks to Elijah, and Elijah says, as a result of hearing it, I hear the sound of many waters. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. This has been a drought for 3.5 years. There's no sign, no indication that it's going to rain anytime soon. So Elijah takes his assistant, and they go up on the Mount of Carmel, and Elijah sits in what can only best be defined as the fetal position. He sits on the floor, on the ground, with his head between his knees. Fetal position. And he tells his assistant, go out to the cliff and tell me what you see. And the assistant comes back, he says, there's nothing. 7 times, go out and see if there's anything out there. Elijah heard from God. Some people would say, when you hear from God, you don't need to look into it anymore. But Elijah kept sending his assistant to go look into it. He went out. The 7th time he comes back, he says, did you see anything? He said, I saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. That was it. That was all he needed, was a sign that he was hearing from God and that he knew it was right, and he took off running. Because when something comes through that you've been waiting for, and the excitement that's been building on the inside, it just takes over your body, and he'd wrapped his garment between his legs and took off running. Because what God said was coming to pass. It hadn't even started raining yet. It was just one little cloud. That was all he needed. And he knew that God had spoken to him. And he knew that what God said was going to come to pass. He heard. See, Elijah didn't go and sit down at the diner and talk with God across the table. I guarantee you he's hearing an inward voice from God as well. Ooh. when Kathy and I were first dating, and I had been to Teen Challenge, and my mom had introduced me to Kenneth Hagin, and I was reading different books by Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland and others, and I was, you know, studying for myself. The Bible says study to show yourself approved, a workman that you know. Yes. And so Kathy and I had this disagreement. I believed that healing was for everybody all the time and that God always healed people. She said, well, we were always taught. So I said, God, you want me to marry her, but she doesn't believe in divine healing, that it's for everybody. I said, if I'm wrong, you need to tell me. If she's wrong, you need to tell her. See, I didn't automatically assume I was right. I don't always assume I'm right, unless I know for sure. And we're at church one Sunday, and we're worshiping, and at the end of the song, she says, David, the Lord just took me through the entire Bible and showed me everywhere that he always heals. See, when we open ourselves and we avail ourselves to God, he's going to talk to us. He's going to teach us. He's going to correct us. Why? Because we have the inner voice. We have the voice of God on the inside. I used to, when I first got saved, there'd be a prophet here and a prophet there and a prophet here and a prophet there. And I'm always going to these prophetic meetings because I want the prophet to have a word for me. And we were at this prophetic meeting, and there was this gal. I don't know if you've ever heard of her. Her name was Shirley Jones, not the actress, but the prophet. Okay? And so we went, and the worship at the church was a little bit different. Some of the worship team members had pom-poms. And sequin tops that match their pom-poms. And I'm having kind of a hard time with that. And the Lord says, go to the bathroom. I think we ought to try that with Deb. Get Deb up there with the sequin top and the pom-poms. We're going to get a disco ball and put it above Regina at the piano. So I go to the bathroom, and the Lord speaks to me in the bathrooms. He's just go to the bathroom, so I go to the bathroom, and I'm in there. I'm like, God, why won't you? I want the prophet to speak to me through from you, and blah 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 blah. And I go to the bathroom. He says, stop seeking prophets. If you want to hear from me, ask me. You don't need to go to a prophet. You just come directly to me and ask me. Man, I'm telling you what, the Holy Ghost sets you straight every time. If you want to be set straight, if you don't want to be set straight, don't ask. I'm just telling you. But if you want to be set straight, if you want to know the truth, go to the inward witness. Go to the God inside. Because he knows everything before it happens. He sees tomorrow, your tomorrow. He sees your yesterday. He sees your inward thoughts right now. When I wish he would stop talking. I'm getting hungry. No, nobody's thinking that. Again, I can only use myself for an example. And then I'm gonna close it up. We were renting this house. It was a beautiful house, wasn't it? Black Lake. It had these upper windows that went all the way around the rooms, and it would just let just the right amount of sunshine in, and it had a beautiful garden. But we were renting. And I kept hearing this voice in my head, it's better to own than rent. It's better to own the rent. It's better to... And I'm outside and I'm watering, and God spoke to me. He said, whether you own or rent doesn't matter, because I own it anyway. You know what we did? We went and got out of the will of God and bought a house. Both of us knew better, and within a year, the market dropped. It was in 2008. Remember that? Real estate agents? It dropped. I mean, the market. I mean, we were so upside down in that house. I mean, if it had been water, we'd have drowned to death. That's how upside down we were in that house. That was 2008. It finally sold last September. God is speaking to us. The doctors may have said, you can't conceive, you can't have children, don't even bother trying. But if God told you you're going to have children, honey, you're going to have children, you better get ready for it. Start making plans. Go out and buy a cradle. Because if God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Gideon was a scared little man. And God said, I'm going to use you to lead my people into battle. He says, oh no, not me. I can't possibly do that. And God says, don't see yourself that way. I said, you're a conqueror. You're going to go and you're going to do it. And God takes him out there with hundreds of thousands of men and whittles down to 300. All right. Three times the Lord spoke to me about this church. I'm going to shake the church. The first time I'm like, okay. Second time I'm like, who's left? Third time I'm like, that's all right. It's your church. Whatever you're going to do. Why? Because God's not trying to get rid of people. God's trying to get the right people together. God's trying to get the right people. Listen, I'm a pastor, but I'm not everybody's pastor. There's no way I can be everybody's pastor. Some people love Joel Osteen. Other people can't stand Joel Osteen. It's okay. He's not your pastor. You don't have to approve of everything he says and does, but you have to love him because he comes in the name of Jesus, and he comes in a spirit of love and humility. Anybody who comes to you in a spirit of love and humility, you can receive. We had people that came here once, and I was talking to him outside, and he said, well, we're just not sure. I said, don't worry about it. If I'm not the voice of your pastor, it's okay. But I'll pray that God helps you find the voice of your pastor. Because every person needs to be where God wants them to be. A person can be perfect and perfectly wonderful and filled with the Spirit and operating in the gifts, but if they're not in the right church, it's going to be a bad fit all the time. We have to be where God wants us to be. We have to do what God wants us to do. Because only then, because we're hearing the Spirit of God, can we accomplish what God wants to do. We drove 80 miles each way for church for 3 years and missed three times. One of those was because I had a clothing crisis. I had lost a bunch of weight. Everything looked awful on me. You know, and I'm like, oh, this just looks awful. I don't know what to wear. I don't want to go to church today. Kathy says, okay, well, let's go buy you some new clothes. I'm like, you have to believe what you hear in your spirit, not with your eyes. You have to receive by faith what he's saying to you, because how things look in the natural are subject to change. As we begin to walk with him and follow him, things that, as they look on the appearance on the outside, will begin to change. It took 25 years for Abraham and Sarah to have a child. Give him a few months to help fix you. Give him a few weeks to help correct a situation. We're part of a culture and a society where we can turn on the TV from the couch instead of having to get up and walk to it. I remember when I was a kid, go change it to channel 11. Okay. She didn't even know what that means. That's the dial changing on the TV. Go click, click, click as you turn it. And you know who the remote was? It was me. I was the remote. I remember when we got our first microwave. You can cook eggs in it? We got the microwave, and Dad had this egg poacher thing for microwaves, and he put the egg and the egg poacher thing in the microwave, and we cooked it, and it came out, and it was cooked in this little box. But today, we're so accustomed to that kind of thing. You just flip through the channels, you're like, oh, there's nothing on. Yeah, you're on channel 788. There's nothing on. There's nothing on. Back when I was a kid, we had three channels, four if you were lucky. You know what I'm saying? And still there was the problem, there's nothing on. Now you just stick stuff in the microwave. You want tea, you put the cup in the microwave for 60 seconds. It's done, it's hot. Ooh, you scalded yourself. In today's society, we have to slow down so that we can hear him. I think it was Smith Wigglesworth. Growing up as a child, his mother, he was one of many children, his mother would go and she'd sit in the hallway and she'd pull her apron over her head. Wesley, John Wesley. And his mother would go and pull her apron over her head. And all the kids knew, leave mama alone when she's got the apron over her head because she's praying. Sounds like a prayer shawl, doesn't it? But she'd put that over her head, and the kids knew. And if she can do it, well, I think she had seven or eight, many, many children. 11 or 12. I've got two. I go into my room to pray. They could not have anything to do with me all day. Daddy, Daddy. But we have to make that time. Anybody can do it. It takes 5 to 10 minutes. We find that on Fridays we come together, we can do 45 minutes of Bible study and pray for 15 minutes. And those 15 minutes of prayer are uber effectual because we've spent so much time in the Word first. The Word of God will make your prayer life more effectual. Because when you go in, you're armed and you're equipped with the Word of God. You know what to pray and how to pray. And the Spirit of God on the inside of you is going to lead you into prayer. He's going to lead you when you're at the supermarket. And you're thinking, should I turn around and talk to this person? And he might say no. So don't waste your time. Some people are closed off. They're not ready. See, the Word, Jesus said, or through Paul, one plants, one waters, another brings the increase. You might talk to somebody, and all you're doing is watering a seed that's already been planted. Don't expect to harvest it. Just because you're given the opportunity doesn't mean it's harvest time. When it's harvest time, it may not be you. You might have been the person who sowed the seed. Well, I sowed a seed in that person 30 years ago, and it's taken 30 years. And I just talked to them on the phone the other day. They gave their heart to Jesus. Praise the Lord. You put a seed in. You watered. Some things take time. But we have to be listening and following the inner voice of God. Amen? Does this help you? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word. As the Word is sown into our hearts today, that you would help us to grow in it. That you would cause it to bring increase, that you would cause our lives to multiply for you. And I thank you for every person here today, God. I ask that you would give jobs and bonuses, increases, that you would cause health and wholeness to work in their bodies and in their minds. I pray right now, Father, I put a hedge of protection around each and every one of us. And I just declare right now that we'll not worry, we'll not fear, but we'll walk in peace and love, and that we'll be led by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.